welcome to the September 20th, 2017 episode of Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico, or streaming online at kzfr.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino.
And I'm Danny Toms. Today we're going to talk about California's on-again, off-again, on-again ban on the so-called gourmet food meat paste product called foie gras, and speculate whether the issue will go all the way to the Supreme Court. Then we'll talk about the Denver Nuggets forward Wilson Chandler, who tried a plant-based diet to improve his health and his basketball game. And we'll end with a news piece on the pilot vegan school lunch program in Southern California. Jeannie, take it away.
Thank you, Danny. A federal appeals court reinstated California's ban on foie gras last Friday, September 15th. The court found that a state law preventing sales of the luxury liver pate made by force-feeding ducks and geese was valid, even though regulation of poultry products is technically a federal responsibility. The ban was passed more than a decade ago after animal activists proved that the process of fattening the livers of ducks and geese was cruel and inhumane. The law was given a 7-year phase-in period to allow a, quote, more humane method to be developed. And finally, the law became enforceable in 2011, and the sale of foie gras was then banned in California. But in 2015, enforcement of the law was blocked by a district court in California when a judge ruled that the state ban interfered with federal law. The courts had previously concluded that the law was an anti-cruelty measure and was well within the state's traditional legislative powers. In 2015, the district court held that the state law was, quote, an ingredient requirement and thus fell under control and was preempted by federal food safety law. Last week's ruling reinstates the California law, and therefore foie gras is banned again.
Ooh.
Challengers will have 2 weeks to ask a larger Ninth Circuit panel to review this last week's ruling, after which the Ninth Circuit then has about three weeks, to decide whether to take on the case or not for further consideration. And if that happens, it'll be in consideration by the Ninth Circuit for weeks, if not months. And then if the challengers lose, if the court does take it on and says that the ban is upheld, that means that the challengers lost. If that happens, then those challengers can appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. And so I just think this is an interesting issue to look at. This is a very minor part of the entire animal food spectrum.
Right, right.
It's one that's expensive. It's one that is geared to a certain group of, like, foodie type people.
Right. I mean, I'm thinking it's a couple of hundred people in the state that even routinely eat foie gras.
Right. You know? And most likely a few restaurant owners and, of course,
their
a
chefs.
Few
yes.
foie gras producers.
Right.
Right. And yet here we are unable to keep this ban in place. And I just think it's very interesting, and it just shows how hard it is to legislate your way around food issues. Even for luxury foods that few can afford or who even eat it, right? And it just says so much about our culture. And I don't know, what do you think? You think it'll go to the Supreme Court?
You know, I think they might kick it up there. I don't see why the Supreme Court would really care. Like,
that's true.
They have things they need to do. Maybe because it's so unique, they might take it. I mean, going all the way back to, 100 years ago, getting food regulations in place, it's always kind of a back and forth, and now everybody thinks, oh, everything's great, we got food regulations. But often if you drill in, you're like, nobody's actually looked at that ingredient since 1955, or
the generally recognized as safe ingredients,
right?
Yeah.
And it is such a tough area to kind of scientifically look at and ethically look at. So it's pretty fascinating how this is going back and forth with the courts in there.
Yeah, I think for the average person, though, who even looks at these issues, I think, you know, foie gras is sort of standing in for all animals in the food industry. And I think that's why animal advocates keep up the pressure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's undoubtedly a cruel way to produce a certain type of food. And I'll get into that in a little bit. But, you know, non-vegans, they want to hang on to it. And people who, the few companies that are producing this food, They want to hang on to it. They want to keep a livelihood. And that idea of making a livelihood on animals' bodies, I think, is what's at stake here and what drives a lot of the opposition to it.
Definitely. I mean, there's definitely precedent that can be set here that then expands to other other animals we cut into little pieces for different reasons.
Yeah. So, you know, as they say, it's the slippery slope, right? And so they don't want to yield. It'll be interesting. And so I was doing a little bit of research again about this issue. So for our listeners who don't know, foie gras is a fattened goose or duck liver. That is the main purpose for producing this very rich pate, basically, that's mixed in with some other spices. And I learned, it's funny, you look into these things and you learn something new every time. I learned that a whole lobe of goose liver that's destined to be turned into foie gras, the size of it is about a pound. And each liver is about the size of a small football. This is in an animal, you know, that's like a duck or a goose size.
Well, how do they get so big, Jeannie?
And it ends up to be about 10% of a, it's mostly ducks, of a duck's total body weight. So, you know, the liver is a large organ anyway in humans, in mammals, in, you know, bird biology is a little different, but still, that is an enormous organ. So foie gras is a fattened goose liver or duck liver. The way they do that is they raise ducks for about, I don't know, looks, I think the thing I looked at said about 12 weeks in just normal circumstances. They're raised as like normal ducks, normal in quotation marks, because that can be variable in whatever ag situation they're in, whatever farm situation.
They're not out on the pond.
No, they don't have ponds, but they have more. They may have more or less space. But then, for the last 25 days of their lives, at least in one producer, the ducks are then crowded into pens because they need to be accessed about three times a day to be tube fed, basically. So the farmer's assistant, the farmhand, will grab a tube and open up the bird's beak and push the tube down the esophagus of the animal and then load it up with food.
Wow.
It'll do that three times a day for 25 days.
So is there a free-range organic method of force feeding ducks so that we could have, you know, foie gras that's cruelty less?
The industry has 7 years to try to produce that.
I see.
Did they? No. And that's why the California foie gras ban came into place, because there was no more humane way to produce this. And you know, what they're doing is they're taking advantage of these birds' natural tendencies. And I mean natural in terms of like wild birds do eat a lot. Wild migratory birds such as geese do eat a lot in preparation for their migration, because their food supply on a migration, say, you know, south or north, depending on time of year, they may have limited food supplies on that trip. And so they fatten up in preparation for that. What foie gras is, it's an aberration. It's an exploitation of that natural tendency.
I just can't even imagine somebody like coming up with this idea to begin with, you know, whenever they did back in the midst of time. Let's force feed this animal, see what happens.
Let's make this happen, what we've observed, you know, when we've hunted these animals.
I mean, if anyone's ever, you know, been in the hospital or had a family member in the hospital who had to be intubated, you know, had a feeding tube or a breathing tube, it's not pleasant. Nobody wants to do it. It sucks.
Yeah.
And imagine this, you know, happening multiple times a day for this really fringe food to these poor animals.
Yeah. So it makes it even more surprising that, you know, that this marginal food is so hotly defended.
Right.
You know, it's like some violation of some primal rights is the way it feels when, or sounds when you hear a restaurateur defending these types of food choices.
Right.
And I just have our listeners think, you know, if that process, it's called gavage, of forcing a tube down an animal's throat to, you know, fatten up its liver. If you find that repugnant, you must consider other ag practices for animal farming equally repugnant. And you know, start to carefully consider your food choices. Consider that in order to have milk, a cow is forcibly impregnated every year. A female cow is forcibly impregnated every year. And her baby is taken away from her days after birth or you know, hours after birth. Right. And the kind of trauma that causes. So anyway, I'm sure that we'll be revisiting foie gras. Oh, I just find it an interesting lens with which to look at the rest of our food choices.
And we'll also think how, you know, these chefs will, you know, fight tooth and nail, you know, about foie gras. But these same chefs won't offer a vegan dish on their menu. Some other type of food. So they're all food. Food is great. We have the right to eat anything. Oh, God, we're not going to make a vegan dish, you know?
Yeah. Or if we do make a vegan dish,
it's a baked potato or something.
We're not going to make it taste great. Yeah.
Right.
Which is, yeah.
We can name some local restaurants, but I'm not sure who our sponsors are right now. So
anyway, yeah, you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio. You're listening to host Jeannie Trezino and Danny Toms, and we've been talking about the significance of the foie gras ban in California and why it's so hard to get it to stick. What's up next, Danny?
From the 2011 to 2012 season to the 2013-2014 season, Denver Nuggets forward Wilson Chandler played only 113 of a possible 246 games. That's not a lot. Then, after playing 78 games in the 2014 season, he missed the entire next season with a hip injury. Basketball players pretty much hate it when they don't get to play. Tired of battling injuries and other health-related stresses, Chandler looked for a different approach to his health and finally found what appears to be a solution, veganism.
No way.
Wow. So now, a year and a half into this diet change, Chandler said he is not going back. In an interview with Business Insider magazine, Chandler said that, quote, "This is something that I'm not really doing for a 30-day challenge or my basketball career. I think this is a lifestyle thing, and for the most part, I stick to it."
That's amazing.
Right. Especially, you know, athletes, there's a lot of a stigma around some of this stuff.
Like a little bit of peer pressure?
Yeah.
Kind of thing? Yeah.
Right. Let's all go get a steak after the game. Chandler said he was 99% sure he would never go back to an omnivorous diet. And why not? In the most recent season, he played 71 games, averaging 15.7 points per game and 6.5 rebounds per game, which were both career highs. At the same time, he achieved a 54.52 shooting percentage, the second best mark of his career. He said he had been most affected by his ability to recover after workouts, practices, and games, and that he felt a difference in his energy. This is a common report from vegan athletes at any level. We heard some of this last week with vegan athlete racing, that they almost all report that they recover from hard workouts much faster.
Yeah, so they can train harder for longer and reap the benefits of that training.
Right. Chandler was first turned onto a vegan diet by former NBA guard Chris Douglas Roberts, who I've never heard of, and I watch a lot of basketball, so I got to look him up. But I'm glad he's vegan or going for a vegan diet. Chandler said that after making inroads into what he called the vegan and vegetarian crowds, I think that could be us, Jeannie.
Yeah.
He moved from being a pescatarian, and that's not people that annoy you, that's people that just eat fish, and vegetarian to strictly a vegan.
That's awesome.
A typical meal for Chandler isn't all that different from a non-vegan's. For instance, he says that after working out, he has a vegan protein shake and some carbs. One day, he ate a vegan burger, sautéed broccoli and black beans, and drank some kombucha, which is not for everybody, but some people enjoy it.
It's all the rage.
Actually, I had some that was pretty good because I realized it's all flavored now. So if it's flavored, it's
yeah.
fine.
Back in the 90s, I actually made kombucha for my own little SCOBY. And it was, you know, tea and sugar fermented a little bit.
Yeah.
And, well, I don't know. It was like all right. But yeah, now if you had some flavor and variety. Anyway, carry on.
Initially, eating on the road was difficult, but now he's gotten to know vegan spots in different cities. This is kind of a common vegan pattern. We all find our spots when we travel. He found that L.A. has a good vegan and plant-based food scene, as does Chicago, but Detroit has his favorite vegan restaurant, a place called Detroit Vegan Soul, where some of our friends frequently eat and post pictures on Facebook and make us desire the food.
Yes.
Chandler's go-to at the Detroit Vegan Soul is a platter with foods like mac and cheese, which is, of course, vegan mac and cheese, collard greens, black-eyed peas, and yams, you know, good old soul food, While he said he would gladly recommend the diet, he thinks it's already spreading among more and more players. Chandler's observed some players experimenting with plant-based diets like Portland's Damian Lillard and Sacramento's Garrett Temple, and he thinks that knowledge of a vegan diet will help players around the league.
I think that's so cool that it's just passing by, like, word of mouth or...
Yeah.
You know, it's not like vegan outreach or, you know, any of the big animal groups. It has a campaign specifically aimed at basketball players.
Right. I mean, as a former, you know, high school freshman basketball player, I can tell you that, you know, like basketball and soccer, I mean, you play every day, you know, it's a lot of effort.
Okay.
And then these guys travel. So they play hard, they fly next night, they play again. It's, you know, constant sprinting. So recovery. And every single game is so fast that any little edge, you know, they are talking amongst themselves about, man, how do you do this again? You got hundreds of games you're playing, you know, you ran 10 miles yesterday in a game. You got to do it again.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think they're pretty fact-based. If they see something working for a guy, they try it. Chandler said that though the Denver Nuggets would and could help him prepare food if he needed it, he mostly handles his diet himself and feels more confident about it now that he's had a full season of this under his belt. At age 30, entering his 10th season, he plans to stick with what works and not just for the basketball season. Chandler feels as though he's found a winning recipe. Over to you, Jeannie.
That's cool. So I'm just astonished that, you know, he's been playing for 10 seasons. That's a lot of playing at a professional level, and that, you know, maybe he's able to extend his career a little bit and, you know, certainly make a little more money. In his career and you know, keep at it.
Right. I mean, all those statistics we cited kind of factor into your payroll. And most professionals, if they're, you know, they start playing hard around 11 or 12, you know. And so there's a lot of hidden mileage that you don't even know about, you know.
So anyway, And, you know, if y'all are looking for some vegan soul food in Northern California, there's a place in the Bay Area in Oakland called Soli Vegan.
Right.
And they have a nice spread of vegan soul food, with the mac and cheese, and they do like a chicken fried tofu and a collard greens, a lot of yummy stuff. So also, very good cornbread. They have excellent cornbread. Anyway, you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio. We've been talking about the Denver Nuggets forward Wilson Chandler and how he literally turned his game around by dropping animal products from his diet. Our last story is about lunchtime. Lunchtime at the Sylmar Charter High School in Southern California, where students eating from the cafeteria can choose from yogurt and granola, a chef salad with turkey, garlic cheese bread, or even a toasted cheese sandwich. Or, if you're a Sylmar Charter High School student, you can opt for a vegan choice, such as vegan chili. Sylmar is one of seven high schools where the LA Unified School District is testing out a new vegan menu. Besides the vegan chili and tortilla chips, the weekly menu, with one vegan choice each day, has a teriyaki veggie patty sandwich, a bean tamale, a vegan veggie burger, and an Italian soy sausage sub.
I think we talked about this a few months ago. So this
we did, when this was being presented to the board as a sort of a demand or a strong request. And now it's being tested at seven schools. School district staff will keep collecting comments from students about the vegan food options until about November 17th, and then they'll tally the results and report back to the school board. At that point, the school board could decide to expand the program to other campuses or keep it as is or drop it. So we'll give you an update when that happens. Much has been made from the vegan menu pilot program, which the LA Unified School District Board approved last May after then board president Steve Zimmer, who was a vegetarian. So inside track on that.
Always helps.
But, you know, one board member doesn't sway the whole board necessarily. Anyway, board president Steve Zimmer introduced a resolution for the program, and a group of vegan students and from the Earth, Peace, Healthy, Freedom campaign pressed the board to adopt a vegan menu and even enlisted and got the support and personal appearance before the board of Baywatch actress Pamela Anderson, who is a vegan and an animal rights activist, as well as Dr. Neil Barnard, who is a physician and a vegan and the founder of the Physicians Committee of Responsible for Responsible Medicine. Both of those folks presented to the board. But of course, the real question is, how do the students at pilot program schools like the food? And at Sylmar, the vegan chili is a hit. And the teriyaki burger seems to be not so much of a hit. Jasmine Avina, who is a 12th grader, had this to say about the vegan chili. Quote, this is the first time trying it, actually. I want to try something new. I actually do like it. And the reason why I'm sharing these quotes is only one of these students is vegan, and the rest of them are not vegan. So it's interesting and helpful to see that, you know, non-vegan kids, which is the majority,
right,
you know, are interested in these options. She isn't vegan, but she does eat vegan food outside of the school from time to time, she said. So it's nice to be that she can eat it inside. Next to Avina, the 11th grade student, Francisco Giron, said he's all about the vegan menu. He was the only full-fledged vegan at the table and said he eats a lot of beans, rice, and salad, including at home. He told the LA Daily News that, quote, I started becoming vegan because I saw a lot of documentaries and did some research on how meat can affect you and all the things that they put in meat. I'm an athlete myself, so I've been noticing that when I was eating meat, and I would eat meat a lot because whenever I'd go out to In-N-Out or anything like that, and after I played, my joints would hurt and stuff like that, and it would just be painful. After I turned vegan, my joints wouldn't hurt as much, and I'd feel great, end quote. And he's been trying out veganism for about 2 months. So there you go. You have the athlete.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, as a word of caution, I'm always kind of dubious about some of the health claims, but anecdotally, you do hear quite a lot of it, and it never hurts to try. Would be my suggestion.
Sylmar Charter High School Principal James Lee asked for volunteer students willing to take the vegan option to talk to the reporter to get these quotes that I'm sharing with you. But in truth, the reporter noticed that out of the about 700 students who were eating lunch on the Sylmar High School campus on that day when he was there, many chose the vegan chili. At the end of lunch, the cafeteria had actually run out of the 200 vegan chili servings that the kitchen had prepared. The school food service supervisor said that they would probably increase the number of vegan meals in response to demand. 11th grader Christian Cisneros told the reporter that the more vegan food he tries, the better he does in sports and class. He actually told the reporter, quote, it's pretty good. Vegetables. I eat meat, but sometimes I like to mix it up. Once in a while, I'll try some vegan food. Once in a while, I'll try some meat. I want to keep a balanced diet. I don't feel like the other schools have that. End quote. So, yeah, I think that this is great. I'm glad that the school kitchen was able to make something palatable that the kids would actually take. There are so many elements in this type of program that could doom it to failure. You know, if the kitchen's not working with a good recipe or recipes, plural, you know, can they make edible food that's not junk food that the kids will take? And also, you know, is the student population willing to make the change and, you know, try these other options? So I just think that's interesting. I think that this was very successful. To me, it sounds like more often than not, this group of students anyway, is willing to take meat off their plate. It's no big deal.
I mean, I think if you like chili, you like chili. There's all kinds of chili, you know. Do they even need to kind of label it there? Or, you know, it was kids wanted chili that day. I think if the chili sucked, then people would have heard about it, and the rest of the 150 in line would have been like, oh, you know, by the time they got to it, they would have skipped on the chili.
So anyway, I just thought that was a great pilot program, and
right.
I hope by November 17th we can say that they'll be expanding it, because LAUSD, LA Unified School District, is one of the largest school districts in the country.
Yeah, I'm sure you will continue following those folks, and it'll be interesting to see where this story goes.
You've been listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio.
And now it is time for the Chico Animal Rights Calendar of Events. Get ready to mark your calendars now.
All right. Coming up this Saturday, September 23rd, from 6 to 8 p.m., is the Chico Vegan Potluck with a theme of tapas crawl. So those little delicious, savory appetizer type things is what we're going for. Saturday, September 23rd, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Chico Library Community Room. It's free and open to the public. We'll also have plant-based Chico there with a whole food, plant-based, no salt, no oil, no sugar table. Then we have coming up next Thursday, September 28th, Plant-Based Chico will be having their monthly meeting, and they'll be featuring local author Lonnie Muehlrath, who'll be their guest speaker. And that's Thursday, September 28th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Chico Community Guild Hall on Nord Avenue. Lonnie Muehlrath will be speaking about her two recent books, A Mindful Vegan, A 30-Day Plan, and her newest book, and then her previous book is The Plant-Based Journey and How to Transition to a Plant-Based Diet. September 30th is the Worldwide Vegan Chalk Bomb. I'm not sure if any Chico activists are going to be participating, but it's a day when vegans will be scribbling graffiti on the sidewalks with various messages for compassion and veganism. Then at the beginning of next month, Sunday, October 1st, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in San Francisco is the World Veg Fest. It's one of the oldest veg fests, 18th annual World Veg Fest. Every year they get together the group of speakers, chefs, and presenters on the topics of vegan health, vegan ethics, and animal rights. And you can get more information at worldvegfestival.com. Speakers this year include Christy Middleton, who is the Senior Food Policy Director for the Humane Society of the United States. Lonnie Muehlrath, if you didn't catch her in Chico, she'll be speaking on The Mindful Vegan, a 30-day plan for finding health, balance, peace, and happiness. And interestingly, they'll be having Clifton Roberts speak in. He is the first ever U.S. presidential candidate for the Humane Party, which is a party committed to the rights of all animals, not just humans. So that sounds fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And then Monday, October 2nd is World Day for Farmed Animals, and I'll be presenting more about that next week. So that's about it for the calendar. If you have an event or other news to share, send an email to me at chicovegan@gmail.com and tell me all about it, or find me on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. And we have one last piece of business to take care of, and that is the animal rights quote of the week. Take it away, Danny.
Today's animal rights quote of the week is from local activist and friend Sherry Morgado, who is co-founder of the Chico chapter of Dharma Voices for Animals. Sherry recently wrote, "The truth can be brutally painful to discover, but there is a huge freedom in reorienting our lives towards compassionate choices once we know that truth." So don't be afraid of the truth. Let's all learn, take heart, and take action.
That's what we're all about here on this show. It's why I share grisly details about foie gras, force feeding of ducks and geese. It's a horror, and it's something that you can learn about and then make better choices.
Non-Human Radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you. Many thanks to Sue Hildebrand for her engineering assistance and moral support. Stay tuned for Sue's show, The Real Issue, coming up next.
This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, its volunteers, or its staff. We do, however, reflect the opinions of our non-human fellow Earthlings who would rather not be killed, eaten, hunted, raised, experimented upon, or otherwise abused.
Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activist Rockers Rise Against. If you missed any portion of this show or you want to listen repeatedly, go to the archives at kzfr.org. This is Danny Toms and Jeannie Trezino signing off. Until next week, be different, be better, be kind.
And go vegan.
And this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. Listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.